Amen. If you turn to 2 Peter, we're still in chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 12. And this is one of the scriptures. Sometimes I read my text and it just like, wow, there it is. You know, it's not going to be a task. This week was a task. And I read it and studied. And I read it and studied. And I read it and studied, and every day it was like, God, I'm not getting it. I picked up on something, but I just wasn't getting what I feel like the Lord wanted me to share with you until Wednesday night, actually. This thought came across my mind, and I heard the Lord say, that's it. That's what I want you to talk to the people about. And so I will tell you that you probably need to reach over your left shoulder, grab your seatbelt, pull it on, and click it in, because it might be a bumpy ride, okay? We're going to definitely hit some turbulence today, can I say that? So thank you for enjoying my humor. Okay, I entitled this, Thinking Correctly Will Change Your Life. Thinking correctly will change your life. We could have titled that the negative way, thinking incorrectly will ruin your life. Do I have any believers here with me today? Amen. Okay, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, that's his body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunning devised fables when we were made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have this prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Father God, we come before you today. Lord, I don't have to ask you to anoint your word, because your word is anointed. Lord, it's anointed to break up fallow ground. It's anointed, Lord, to come into our heart and bear fruit of the word of God. Father, but I do need to pray, Lord, that my words would be anointed and that their ears would be anointed. God, I pray, Lord, that we would open up our hearts to be receptive for something that's spiritual. God, your word is spirit. It's spirit and life. And God, we cannot try to reason your word. We must receive it in the spirit of the Lord. So, Father, I pray today that our spirits would be open to receive a spiritual word from heaven which will change our life. God, I know that I know that I know that you have spoke to my heart today, Lord, and this week about what you wanted me to speak to these people. So I know, Lord, that you want to bring deliverance to us today. I know, Father, that you want to change the course of our life, God. And I pray today that we would be receptive to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, so that you can change us, Lord, just by a word from heaven, Lord. Our lives will never be the same again. So God, I pray, Lord, have your perfect way on this service, God. Use a broken instrument today, God. Lord, use a man, Lord, that's broken, so that the word of God can come through, Lord, with truth and power and grace, God. Lord, I come against any condemnation in the name of Jesus. Lord, I say the devil must be defeated today. I bind and resist, Lord, his voice from this service so that the only voice that will be heard is the Spirit of God. Today we receive life and life from the throne. Have your perfect will. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to back up just a little bit because I want to remind you of what we've been speaking on for the last couple of weeks, because this is building. He is not transitioning into a new thought. He is building upon it, okay? He's building upon what he has already previously said. So in the first part of this chapter, he said everything we need for life and godliness we'll find in him that he's already provided. In other words, we need to quit looking elsewhere. Reader's Digest has nothing for you. Time Life has nothing for you. The Word of God has everything for you. Right? So we need to quit getting our wisdom from country living. Hallelujah. And start getting it from the Word of God. Right? Everything we need. God does not leave anything out. Everything we need. That's a powerful statement. Everything we need, we find in him. Then he says that God has given us great and precious promises. I told you last week, a promise is only as good as the person who gives it. If you've ever received a promise from someone whose word is not honorable, it probably didn't come through, right? The best intentions still fail many times. But God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. That's the word. So when God gives you a promise, you can take it to the bank. It's going to be true. It's going to happen. So God be true and every man be a liar. So he's given us great and precious promises. He said that he has come to make us partakers. Would you like to partake with me at lunch today? You get it? I'm asking you to join me in a meal. Jesus is saying, will you join with me? Will you join me in what I want to accomplish and I want to do? He says, I want you to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. You are not limited by your intellect. You are not limited by your finances. You're not limited by the person you're married to. You're only limited by your faith. And if your faith can rise above, listen to me. If your faith can rise above your present circumstance and get this verse, that God says that he would make me a partaker of the divine nature of God. In other words, what happens in heaven really can happen on earth. You're only limited by your lack of faith. Do you? Mary says, I don't understand it, but be it unto me according to your word. Woo! That's good stuff. Do you have the... Do you have the strength to pray that? Do you have the confidence to pray that? God, I don't even know if I want to pray that. Be it unto me according to your word. That's powerful. Because I don't understand all the word. But I can tell you that. I trust the one who gave it. And if he gave it to me, it's going to be for my good, not for my bad. God says, come on, son, let's get busy and do something fun, right? You're going to wake up or I'm going to come down there. He says, there's two promises there. I want to make you a partaker of the divine nature of God. And the second one, and I want you to escape the corruption that's in this world. Anybody say yes to that? Yeah, I'm all about escaping that corruption. Let me tell you, I don't believe that's talking about the rapture of the church. It's not like one of these days God's going to get us out of here. No. He's talking here and now. Come out of the world, be separate, says the Lord. so you can go to work on Monday and you might work in a hellhole with a bunch of evil-minded people. And if you work by yourself, then I'm sorry, you might be. But God says you're going to escape that corruption. See, that's a promise of God you ought to lay hold of. Okay, bless God. And then he goes on, he says, now we need to add to our faith. And he says, I want you to add moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And these things, as we add them to our faith, they're going to produce in us so that we would be fruitful. And he says the opposite of that is that we would be blind, spiritually blind. So God wants you to be a fruitful Christian. Now, then I believe it's in verse 10. And I believe this whole chapter is based on verse 10. So everything I'm going to talk to you today about, he's coming back to verse 10. He's reemphasizing verse 10. Make your calling and election sure. The word sure is your warranty deed. Make your calling and your election, make it sure, because it's your warranty deed. Your salvation will get you what you need. Does that make sense? If you are positive, if you're sound in your faith, if you know that you know that you know that I am born again, it doesn't mean my life is good. Doesn't even mean that I am good. You may say, but I'm a screw up. Yeah, join the club. Because there's a bunch of us. But I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. I know that Jesus is in me and I am in Him and God is doing something, and that's my warranty deed. That gives me the assurance that He is on my side. Say, when do you need that assurance? When you're going through hell on earth. When all of life seems to be built on sand instead of the rock. And all the bad stuff starts coming at you. And Satan, the thing that Satan does the best is he never gives you just a little bit. But when you start going through the trials, he doesn't know when to stop. So he starts pouring it on. It's one thing, and then it's another thing, and then it's another thing. And before long, you're like, help me, Jesus, I can't handle this anymore. And that's when God says, I've been waiting for you to call on me, son. I'm here all the time, but you have to call out to me. Here I am. It's in your salvation. We search for God in every other place. I'm telling you, our salvation is our warranty deed. It's what puts our feet on the rock. Make sure that you know that you know that you know you're born again. He says these things in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. There are those that will tell you, well, you just can't know. That's contradictory to what the Word says. The Word says, oh, you can know. Have you ever talked to somebody and says, do you know if you're born again? Are you on your way to heaven? If you died today, would you go to heaven? And I've heard people say to me, well, I think I've got a better than not chance. You're going to base your life on a chance? I think you need to erase the word stupid off your forehead. You don't live life with the chance I might be born again. Are you following this? You need to know, and He wants you to know, and the Spirit of God will bear witness with your knowing. Okay, I want to preach and make myself happy, and maybe you'll join the club. Huh? And he says, with that, there's a promise, and it's an entrance into the everlasting kingdom that's provided for us. The promise is, one day you get to be with Jesus. One day we will go home and be in glory. So today's verses started off for this reason. What reason? Verse 10. You get it? For this reason, everything I've just mentioned to you, now Peter says, the rest of this chapter that I'm going to talk to you about, it's for this reason. Because I want you to know that you know that you know. For this reason, matter of fact, he says, I have come to remind you three times. He says that in that scripture. In these 10 verses, he says three times, I'm here to remind you. One time he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, you need to stir up the gifts that's within you. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where you just need to stir up God? Stir the coals, the embers, because they were getting cold. You ever prayed, God, blow on the coals again and may the fire become a flame. He told Timothy, Timothy was his son in the faith. He said, I remember what was in your grandma and your mama, Eunice and Lois. And that same gift is in you, Timothy, and you need to stir it up. I believe today, as I stand before you in a prophetic stage right now, I'd say that's exactly what the church needs to do. We need to stir the coals of the fire. We need to start burning again. Thank you, both of you. He says, I know that you know these truths, but while I'm alive, I've come to remind you. He goes on, he says, the Lord has shared with me that my demise is quickly coming. In other words, Peter's saying, I'm going to be gone soon. So I'm trying to remind you something important. You always listen very closely to a man's or a woman's last words. Because if they've only got a little to say, they're going to tell you what matters most. Peter's saying, I want to stir this up in you. I want you to hear this. And he says, I want you to know this word. Now, I think he's thinking, I've written two letters to you, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, so that my words are going to stay with you a little bit. But also, Mark's gospel is written off Peter's account, remember? So he says, you've also got my words of me being an eyewitness through the writer of the gospel of Mark. It is important what you believe. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you look in the mirror every day and you see a failure, that's probably what's going to, you're fulfilling prophecy. If you look in the mirror and you see an imperfect person, but you see the grace of God moving in that person's life, that's the correct picture. When you look in the mirror, if you see a son of God or a daughter of God, that's the correct picture. If you look in the mirror and you see the righteousness of God, that's the correct picture. Even when you blow it, Mark chapter 4, we have the parable of the sower. Jesus gave this parable to the people. And thank God that the disciples were not the sharpest tool in the shed. And so he calls the disciples and he said, do you understand this parable? And they said, we ain't got it. We don't understand what you're talking about. And he said, the sower that's sowing the seed is the word of God. Folks, I want you to get this. You got to get this today. You got to hang with me. It's the Word of God that's going to change your life. But there's four types of soil. You are the soil. How are you today? Why did we start with worship today? Well, that's the way we always do it. So it's just the nature. No, no. We start with worship really because of Jehoshaphat. Treva and I didn't get our act together today. I didn't know what she was going to say. I never do. I always pray a lot on that front, old Jesus. But when God spoke to Jehoshaphat, he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He goes on, though. He said, position yourself. See, this is something Christians miss. Position yourself. Paul comes back in Ephesians chapter 6 and he says, stand. That's what position yourself means. And then he says, I want you to do something brilliant that's not going to sound so brilliant. That's Kelleher rendition. I want you to send the worshipers out first. Don't give them any instruments of death. Put their instrument in their hands. Send them out because that's what's going to break up the foul ground. Why do we start with worship in our church? To try to get your heart ready to receive the implanted word of God. It's from that story and many others just like it. So he says there's four types of soil. One is the wayside. That's hardened soil. It's really where the farmer walks. You got to remember that they didn't have tractors and plant like we plant today. It was not a no-till society. They were plowing with a oxen and they were going through and they were planting seed. And so where the farmer would walk, he would pack the soil down, and that could be considered wayside soil. It was so hard that the seed wouldn't penetrate that soil. It would just stay on the top. And then the birds of the air would fly over it and pick up that seed. And it was like, oh, here's lunch, right? And that's Satan. John 10:10 says, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. What's he want? What's the number one thing Satan's trying to get from you? The Word of God. It's not your joy. It's not your money. He's trying to steal the Word of God. Right now, some of you are having a very difficult time harnessing your thoughts. Why? Because Satan doesn't even want you to get this Word. What you don't get, he don't have to steal. You hear me? If we just wake up spiritually, just a little bit, to realize there's really one time of life on every week, and it's Sunday morning. And some of you hit and miss Christians are missing more than you're getting. And that wouldn't bother me so much if I knew you were feeding yourself on your own. But I know Christians, we're lazy. We like to be spoon-fed. If we can't attend church regularly, I really doubt that you're going home and spending a couple hours in the Word and in prayer. Woo! Good preaching, brother. Preach to me, preach to me. Okay, I think I will. The second is the stony ground. The stony ground had been broken up, but he said there's no roots there because of the rocks that's in the soil. We plant the seed, the ground's been broken up, but it doesn't last very long because it's got too many rocks in it. So Satan is able to burn it out of you. When the heat of the life comes, the seed is destroyed. Then he says, and this is to me the number one thing of believers. He says that there's seed that's sown among thorns. And I believe that identifies us more than not. And he says, the seed that is sown among thorns is a seed that has to compete. You see, the seed that I am sowing to you today of the Word of God is competing. It's competing with your dinner plans. It's competing with your attention today. It's competing with everything you've been taught in the past. Is that guy really teaching me the truth? I would say less than half of you today are even listening. can always count on Arthur. And he says, the cares of this life, the problems that you're getting ready to go through, choke off the Word of God. You need this Word. You need this Word. And the fourth type of soil is good ground. I pray today that you're good ground. And it says it will bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100%. Why does that matter? Because James chapter 1 verse 21 says this. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Listen to the last sentence. Which is able to save your soul. You see, God doesn't come to you in human form. God comes to you in a seed. All that God is looking to do in this service today is plant a seed in your heart. That's it. It's a seed of the Word of God. Will you hear it? Will you listen? Will you respond? Will it be watered? Will it be nurtured? Because that seed that is planted will bear fruit in your life. That is what causes us to leave the ways of the world and cling to Christ. It's the seed of the Word of God. It's the implanted Word in your heart. And it's not one little word. It's word upon word upon word upon word upon word upon word. Are you getting it? Every time. And it's not just on Sundays. It's every day of your life. As you're walking in the Holy Ghost, keep in step with the Holy Ghost is what Galatians said. As you're walking in the Holy Ghost, God will drop a seed of the Word of God in your heart. Just like that. Just seeing, is this a good time for you to receive this? Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. And if you don't, he'll come back. But here's where it gets difficult. God ain't the only one sowing seeds. Satan is a master planter, a master gardener. He knows. He's planting seeds. You don't believe me? Read the next parable. Read the very Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. The next one is the parable of the growing seed. See, the farmer went out that night and he sowed his seed. But at night, the enemy came and sowed the tares. Folks, you got to get this. Because we are dwelling among a people that tares have been sown in your life and it's competing with the Word of God, and it matters who you're listening to. Last Tuesday night, Arthur brought us a great word to our men's group. And one of the things that spoke to me the greatest was called curse words. And so I grew up in the 60s and 70s in church, and curse words were four-letter words by and large. My goodness, there's much more harm done than that. Are you hearing me? There are people that just curse you. And I'm not talking about a foul language. Let me give you an illustration. Talked in this book. It talked about a man that grew up in a church that didn't have music. I'm sure you know which one that would be. Nothing bad about the church. But he was singing and worshiping the Lord. And a lady after church come to him and she said, "You were singing off key the whole night." Those were curse words that she should not have spoken. Probably didn't mean it nearly as bad as where it fell. But those words bore fruit in his life. He decided never to sing in church again. And from that, he decided, why even go to church? One lady's careless words brought a curse in his life. Now, do you think that Jesus said, you need to go tell him that he's singing off key? No. Who planted that thought? Satan planted that thought because he knew that would hit a ground. He knew that that was going to bear fruit in this young man's life to get him off the path of God. I'm telling you, Satan is speaking today to each and every one of us, and you better identify his voice because he wants to kill you. So this week I talked to a young man I've known for years. Love this guy. He told me, he said, I sat around my house and I just cry. I said, that's depression, my brother. What's happening? You're listening to the wrong voice. Where does that darkness come from? It comes from the enemy. Satan has slipped in and sowed tares at night. And he believed it. He got to thinking, I'm worthless. I'm of no value. Folks, it goes on. This young man was not like that because he does have a strong faith in God. He was not suicidal at all. But he was really battling this, harnessing his mind. But many other people don't have the faith that he has or the foundation that he has. So when they hear this voice that tells them they're worthless, that nobody loves them, and really nobody even cares if you live, then people wind up doing something very stupid, very selfish, and they wind up ending their life and bringing, and all of a sudden then the family comes together and the friends come together and they reminisce of how much love they had for this guy. Well, tell him when he's living! People need encouragement. I'm not preaching to you one thing and I'm sitting up here on this pedestal saying, hallelujah, I don't have to worry about those things. No, I'm right there with you. I battled depression. And I'm not afraid to admit that. I have to harness my thoughts. I told you I got a letter the other day from I don't know who it was. They typed it. But one thing they put in there, I have not been able to get rid of it. It was curse words. It says, you're too funny in the pulpit. And every service since then, when I preach, the thought comes back to me, was I too funny today? So, well, I've got to do exactly what I'm telling you. I've got to harness those thoughts. Those thoughts were not from God. They were from the enemy sowing a tear. In the big scheme of things, what we would call this is church hurt. Many people have suffered church hurt. And they decide to quit serving God because of careless words spoken by a man. Don't do that. There's no wisdom in that. Listen to this. The essence of temptation is to introduce a thought that contradicts the Word of God. You get that? That's powerful. The essence of temptation is to introduce a thought in your head that contradicts the Word of God. When Satan came as a serpent to Eve, he says, has God really said that? He's trying to withhold from you. He does not want you to be this way. Don't you hear that today even? Satan's still up to the same old thing. He doesn't have new tricks, guys. He's using the old tricks and he's doing it well. Second Corinthians chapter 10 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a thought that's been put in your mind that has been there for a long time. So now it literally makes decisions for you. We could call it your paradigm. The glasses in which you look through. You see, the only one I know to tell you is if you think you're a failure, that's your paradigm. That's the glasses in which you look at life. If you think everybody's against you and nobody likes you and you're sitting on the corner eating worms, God bless you. I see there's something better out there to eat than worms. But that's the way you see life. If you see life that I'm a son of God and he's made me a partaker of the divine nature of God and I'm to escape the corruption that's in the world, buddy, I'm going to tell you, you're going to overcome your problems. He said it comes to tear down the arguments and every high thing. The old King James says imaginations. I love that word. See, Satan is the greatest artist of all times. He will paint a picture in your life on the worst day of your life. Listen to me. On the worst day of your life, Satan gets out his brush and he starts painting this picture and he starts talking to you and he says stuff like this, it ain't ever getting any better than this. You think this is a bad day? You wait till you see tomorrow. And it's an imagination that Satan begins to tell you that you begin to believe the lie. And in that lie, he's going to damn your soul. When if only you would take captive that thought. If only you would surrender that thought to God. Say, God, I need your help. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Does this line up with the Word? No. Then cast it out. Get rid of it. Don't let it land. You say, Pastor, I just don't see where you're getting all this. Three times I come to remind you. I want to stir up your memory. I want you to know who you are. I want you to know that your salvation is sure. You get it? Three times he's telling them this. He goes on, he says, now I'm not going to be here much longer, but you need to get this. I want you to get this. The truth that we stand on, which seems so easily to forget, is this. The message that he brought was about the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same message that's in the church today. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And he is coming soon. You better hear the word of the Lord. Satan wants us to get so caught up in this life that we take our eyes off him. And all of a sudden life and its problems choke off what God wants to do for your life. You see, God has a plan for you. God has a destiny, a final resting place, a place where you will have more influence in this world than ever before. And Satan is like, I can't let him get there. If you think Satan is bothered by you coming here on Sunday mornings, you're fooling yourself. He could care less. He said, go to church if you want to. I'll just make you sleepy. I'll dull your hearing. You can be wide awake but not hearing me. Say, Pastor, you think everything you got to say is so important? I think what I have to say is not nothing important. I think what he says is so important. It's life. Second Corinthians chapter 13, he says, let every word be established by two or more witnesses. And God holds himself to that. So when you hear a voice in your head, you got to say, where's my witnesses, God? I lost you. No. Line it up, God. If you're really speaking this to me, show me two places in the Word of God that backs this Word up. He'll do it, I promise you He will. And if you can't back it up with the Word of God, kick it out. Amen. Now Mary said, I don't know why I keep talking about Mary, but Mary said, she didn't understand, how can this be? I've never been with a man, you're telling me I'm going to get pregnant? How can this be? Then she said, be it unto me according to your word. Other point in her life, again, she didn't understand. Everything was going on. Mary gave some positive statements. She said she pondered these things in her heart. There will be some things, listen to me, there will be some things in life that God will speak to you that you will not understand at the moment. Don't kick it out. Ponder it. Let it resonate. If it lines up with the word. If a voice comes to my head and said, you need to kick that old woman out of your house. There's some pretty little girls looking at you. Would you take duct tape, Ren? I say, Lord, is that your voice? Show me in the scripture. Can't do it. Kick it out. Amen. If a voice comes to your head and says, nobody would know if you took money from your job. Just slip it out. And he'll show you how to do it, folks. Satan's a thief and a liar. He will show you how to steal if you want to. You can get away with this. Nobody ever know. Lord, does this line up with your word? No, let him who steals steal no longer, but work with his hands. Scripture. Right? Doesn't line up? Kick it out. If it lines up, base your life on it. Walk in it. If you don't understand it, ponder it. Thank you, Jesus. That's really good stuff. I know some of you are thinking, he's a wild man. I hope he don't come past that second row. He scares me. I love this because Peter is showing them something that I'm just trying to preach to you. He says, see, the word that I'm bringing to you, it's not a devised fable. I'm an eyewitness. I'm an eyewitness, and it lines up with prophecy. The word that I'm telling you is not something that I schemed up in my mind. It's the word of God, and I watched it for 3 years. I'm telling you it's truth. But I had an experience. Me and James and John was on the mountain one day. We were with Jesus, and all of a sudden his clothes started changing colors. Oh, he became white as snow, his face, and all of a sudden there was Moses and there was Elijah, and they were conversing with Christ. I saw it with my own eyes. It changed my life. I know he's real. I know what I'm talking to you about. And the voice came from heaven. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But he left out the last statement. See, at the baptism, that's what God spoke. At transfiguration, God spoke that. But he said one more little phrase. You know what he said? Listen to him. Listen to the words of Christ. Because the word of Christ has life. He goes on. It seems like he's switching thoughts, but he's not. He starts talking about prophecy. He says, no prophecy is of private interpretation. In other words, it's not for you to come up in your mind with what this is saying. Can I just give a warning? When you discover a truth in the Word of God that nobody else has, you probably better kick it out. That appeals to our pride. I wish so badly Joseph Smith would have kicked it out. His first thought was, this is a demonic spirit. Then he came back to revisit it and he started the Mormon church. God help us. They're based on a lie. They take another book over the Word of God. I'm all about unity. I'm all about getting the body of Christ together. But what are you doing with Christ? If you take Jesus and you put him here equal with all the rest of us, you're in wrong. Jesus is up here. God confirms his word by eyewitnesses and prophecies because he wants us to have confidence in his word. Because the more confident you are in the word of God, the more solid of a life that you will live. We were studying John chapter 15 about being in the vine, staying in the vine. God prunes the branches. And he says, when my word is in you and you're in me, you'll ask what you will and it will be done. And this brings glory to the Father. So many of you think, and so and I have thought this too, that when I pray, I'm begging God to do something. I'm having to twist the arm of God to answer my prayer. Wake up, God, I need you. Jesus come along to tell you, no, 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 you got it wrong. It glorifies God to answer your prayer. God delights in answering your prayer. But there's two qualifications to it. He must be in you. You must be in him. But his word must dwell in you richly, so that you have a foundation for your faith to land on. Okay, I've gone too long. So I have one statement here that I'm pretty sure it's me and not the Spirit of God, but I'm going to say it anyway. Stop whining. Stop your stinking whining. Start declaring victory. You are not a victim. You are a victor. So get it in your mind and let it come out of your mouth. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Satan is after your mind. And some of you might be living close to the edge. Now, I'm not insulting at all. I don't want you to hear condemnation for me. I want you to hear hope. And you're trying to pull your life together best you can. And I'm going to tell you, you can't. Not without his help. And it all starts here, folks. Listen to me. Please listen to me. What are you entertaining? What are the thoughts that you are entertaining? See, I have one statement that I say to about everybody I counsel. You're listening to the wrong voice. Is it really that easy? It absolutely is. When you hear the voice that contradicts the Word of God, kick it out. If he says that you can't do it and you're a failure, that is not the voice of God. He causes us to triumph. If you have a cheerleader on your team, it's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit looks to the head and says, what do you want me to do? Tell me the word, God, and I'll bring it into action in their life. And I believe it hinges on this. They got to get their thoughts right. I really believe this. I believe God can't do anything for you until you get your head straight. Say, Pastor, I'm such a long way from it. Get your feet on the foundation. Receive the implanted word of God. His word will change you. Stand with me if you would. I knew today might be difficult for you to hear and receive. because I knew the impact of this word. And I knew that this hinges on life and death. Really, it does. God wants to bring life to you, and it comes one seed at a time. Some of you are praying, God, change me, change me. And he said, take the pill, son. Take the pill. This pill is the word of God. Take it. Tomorrow there's going to be another one. And tomorrow there's going to be another one. The Bible says life is built line upon line, precept upon precept. It's a word. It's a word. The word comes on, starts building in your life. You'll go through a stage in life when all of a sudden God starts connecting the dots. I had a lot of word in me as a kid because I had good Sunday school teachers. Sat under the word and I heard the word. It just didn't make sense. But all of a sudden when I was somewhere in my 20s, God started connecting truth. Does that make sense? God says, this word connects with this word and this word, and there's a result. Bow your head, close your eyes. Be reverent to the Spirit of God. Some of you have not started your journey today. Some of you need to start at the foot of the cross and begin to rebuild your life. Not you, let Christ rebuild your life. It says, how does that happen? It happens through repentance. You just say, Jesus, forgive me. I have built my life on the lies of the enemy. Forgive me, God. I need that seed. I need the word. I need a Savior. That's all it is, guys. Getting humble before the Lord and asking Him to come in and change your heart. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get my heart right with Jesus. Would you just raise your hand? No one's going to see you except for me. But I want to pray for you. Amen. I see you. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. I see you. Amen. I see you. Hallelujah. Amen. I see you. You can put your hands down. Amen. I see you in the back. Jesus, I come before you right now. Lord, there are people here that are crying out to a holy God. Father, they realize, Lord, they've built their life on sinking sand. God, they're asking you for a new foundation, a foundation that's built in Christ. Lord, you said in your word that you forgive us of all of our sins and heal us of all of our diseases, that you reach down and pull us out of the pit and set our feet on the rock. God, I'm asking you today for everyone that raised their hand, would you take them out of the pit of despair, set their feet on the rock, God, forever, and let them listen to the voice of God and hear the word of God that will change their life. Jesus, as they ask you to forgive them, Lord, I pray that you would be their Lord and Savior. Folks, I can tell you how to pray, but I don't need to. You just need to tell Jesus you need him. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. But today I preach to the church mostly. I preach to people that are believing a lie. If you're believing a lie, the Bible says you'll be damned. I don't think he means hell. I think he means in this life. You're going to base your life on the lies of the enemy. If you're here today and you recognize that I've been listening to the wrong voice, I want you to step out of your seat. I promise I won't labor on this too long. But please step out of your seat. Come and line up here. This is the way I feel like the Lord told me. Come and line up here because I want to pray a prayer of deliverance over your head so that God takes those thoughts and you surrender them to the Lord. But there's an element of deliverance where God wants to deliver you from the enemy's device and the snare of the enemy. If you're here, come and stand up here close because this church wants to pray for you. Folks, there's no shame in this. This is powerful. And every one of us has been here. If you're battling depression, you need to be up here. Because now God's not called you to be depressed. You realize what he said? He says, my joy I give unto you. Not like the world gives, but I'm going to give you my joy and I'm going to give you my peace. If you're not walking in the joy of your salvation, if you're not walking in the joy of Jesus, if you're not walking in peace, you ought to be in this line. Because it's very possible that you're listening to the wrong voice. Deacons, I want you to come up. Arthur, Mary, come up. Brother O'Brien, find somebody to pray with. But I want you to pray specifically. I want you to pray that the vice would be broken today. Pray. Find somebody to pray with, guys. Span out. Jesus, I come before you right now. God, I thank you, Lord. I have shared the word of God as strongly as I could. Father, I have withhold nothing from them. And the Spirit of God has taken this word and he's bore witness in these spirits, Lord, that sometimes we listen to the wrong voice and Satan is whispering in our minds and we need to...